Once again, I want to thank Alan and Seth for making sure that this year would happen. Just because of the vagaries of scheduling, Baruch Hashem, for good reasons, there are not that many Wednesdays over the course of Elul that work. It looks like we're going to have two Tshuva Shurim, one tonight, and then 3 weeks from now, the Wednesday of Aseres Mei Tshuva. I wanted to approach Tshuva instead of from the way we've done in the past, from Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, from some other sefer, to look at things from a different perspective. And to look at each of the two nights at one person, a hero, a Tshuva hero. We're going to take a look at tonight at Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva is a man both who taught about Tshuva and a man who very much lived Tshuva. And I want to look at least a little bit. There's so much to see, but at least we can begin learning tonight, both about the way Chazal tell the stories of Rabbi Akiva and some of the teachings that we have from Rabbi Akiva's mouth. There's a lot to learn about Rabbi Akiva and a lot, hopefully, that we can bring home as well. I want to tell you in advance that I came across a beautiful sefer a number of years ago, and a number of the ideas we're going to discuss tonight come from that. Rav Yigal Ariel is a senior Talmud Chacham from the Golan Heights, who was, I believe, the Rav of Nov, and I don't know if he still does, but for many, many years taught in a Midrasha in Chespin. And he has a series of incredibly creative and insightful svarim on different Sifrei Tanakh. In addition to that, he has a whole series on they're built, each sefer built around one or two Sifrei Tanakh. Then he has this sefer, Erpa Meshuv Asam, which is thematic instead of sefer-based. And the theme is tshuva. And he takes you through Tanakh and then through different figures and topics in Chazal. Very, very fascinating. It's in many ways, I would say, very multi-layered. There's an element of Malbim style about it. The fresh, creative look at Jewish Amikr combined very much with the Ruach HaChazal. So it's very, very, very beautiful. And he has incredible bekiyas in the Parshanut, and extraordinary bekiyas in the literature of Medrash. Really, really, really remarkable. And I want to start with some of the stories of Rabbi Akiva. Some are more famous than others. Take a look here. This one is arguably the most famous of all. It's actually not a Gemara. The Gemara talks about the story of Rabbi Akiva becoming so the origin of Rabbi Akiva, as it were, in at least two places, and we'll get to that. It appears in the Maseches Ketubos and Maseches Nedarim. But the most famous story appears not in the Talmud Bavli at all. The most famous story appears in a sefer called Avos D'Rabbi Nassim. Avos D'Rabbi Nassim is a collection of midrashim that expand upon the Mishnayos of Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos are very short statements, and the Avos D'Rabbi Nassim is very, very expansive. Often it'll take one line from a Mishnah in Avos and then give you a paragraph or two or three or ten expanding on that idea. And then there are also parts of Avos D'Rabbi Nassim that are not as much linked to additional material, not necessarily linked to Mishnah as in Avos. So here, take a look. Avos D'Rabbi Nassim, the source number one, the sheet. If you want to look inside, you certainly can. If not, you can follow along outside, whatever floats your boat. Here, but source number one. Also, there are two versions of the Avos D'Rabbi Nassim. Two in his house, and we'll see interesting, I see sources one and two, Avos D'Rabbi Nassim, Nuscha Aleph and Nuscha Beis. Mahay Tchilasov Shel Rabbi Akiva. What was the beginning of Rabbi Akiva? Amru ben Abam shana hayav lo shana klum. He was 40 years old. He had not yet learned shana, maybe reference to Mishnah as opposed to Tanakh. Certainly, he had not learned in anything past elementary school, what we would call elementary school learning. Not a learned man. Pamachase omen al piya be'er. He's one standing at the edge of the well. By the way, who does that remind you of? Standing at the edge of the well? Jacob. Certainly Yaakov. Those who have a more Hasidic inclination might notice the even the play on words, that their names are incredibly similar. He's standing at the Be'er, but the love that's about to be sparked here is not the love of a wife, presumably, but the love of Torah. Michal HaKevinzu, he's looking at this rock, and how was a hole dug into that rock? So Amru lo, Mayim, it's the water. Shetadir no from the lab b'chalyam. The water is dripping out every day, that's why there's a hole in the rock. So Amru lo, then they say to him, interesting, they said to him, it's the water that's dripping. They all say to him, Akivi yata kore, don't you know the pasuk in Iov, avanim sochaku mayim. No, I'm not going to ask for show of hands. I'm not sure how many of us are familiar, have Iov at our fingertips. Not I. They said it's a pasuk, that the water can rub away at the stone. That's what happened, and that's attested to, a scientific fact, attested to in the Tanakh. So how does Rabbi Akiva respond? This is famous, right? Rabbi Akiva's response is, look at me. Ma rach pasal sakasha, if something so soft like water can hollow out a stone, Torah is that much more, Torah is so powerful. Torah is as powerful as iron, powerful as steel, certainly can drill into my heart. If the water can make it to the stone, the Torah can definitely make it to my heart. So he decides he's going to start learning Torah. And he goes to yeshiva and so on and so forth. And the officer Rasmussen tells about the learning. Take a look. So this is very famous. What's missing? Anything missing? Any items in the story of Akiva missing?
There was the preface about bad feelings originally at one point towards Talmidei Chacham.
Ah, okay, good, right. Here, this Avraham Rasson does not report. Rabbi Akiva says elsewhere, when I was younger, it was not just that he happened not to have learned, but he hated Talmidei Chacham with a passion. He says, if you would have given me before I was inspired to learn, you would give me Talmidei Chacham and bitten him like a donkey.
This makes it sound like the opposite, really, to me. This makes it sound as though, because it doesn't, because his realization sounds like it was, wow, I could really, I could really absorb a lot of Torah, if I put my mind to it. But the impetus to want to do so seems to be missing. It sounds as though he was always interested in it, but he just had a realization that if he really puts his mind to it, that he can learn a lot.
Right. That's a good point. Right? There's no. It seems at this point as though he's already open to ideas. He just doesn't think it's possible. Not that he's opposed. Yeah. What else do you notice? Rabbi Ariel points out. What else do you notice about the story? Do you think this is the first time he saw the rock? Well, probably not. Probably had seen it countless times. Especially if he's a. The Avos Rinasan doesn't stress the fact that he was a shepherd, but the Gemara in Ksubas tells you he was a shepherd. So you really think of Rabbi Akiva. You really think of Yaakov Avinu, right? Or specifically, not of Yaakov, but everyone else. Right? That's what shepherds do. They have the sheep. The sheep are grazing over the course of the day, and every once in a while, not a shepherd, I don't know how often it happens, but I assume more than once a day, or whatever, at least once a day, you bring them to drink. So he probably been there, like the image you have is he's been there hundreds of times, thousands of times.
He doesn't say, Alpi be'er stam, Alpi ha-be'er. In other words, one could say that this was the well that was frequented, frequented.
Right.
Yeah.
He was at the water cooler, ancient water cooler. He'd been there for 10, 20, 30 years. And all of a sudden, which is, and the it's a very rich metaphor, because what he sees is the water having dripped and dripped and dripped and dripped and, dripped and, dripped and finally made its way through. Mm. Right? He had seen that picture. The picture had been, so to speak, dripping on him. But it didn't
crystallize in the way he
Right, right. And we'll come back to that. Now take a look let's take a look, before you see the way the Gemara tells the story in two places, take a look at the other version of the Avos Rabbi Nasan. Here's source number two. Rabbi Akiva shebikesh lo matora halach v'yashav lo al be'er. Al be'er achas belud. He goes, and here we get a little more detail. It was in Lud, in the Lud area, obviously before the airport. But there's a well. V'ra chulyas habor chakuka. He sees the chulya of the bor is the stone wall around the well, and he sees that it has nicks in it. Michakek es chulya hazu. Amulahu hachevel. The other version of the Avisur Nasan is not that they point out the water dripping; they point out the rope. I only have a yachol. Really, the rope could do that. How could a soft, same idea? How could the soft rope have made a groove in stone? I'm like, hey, nishu tadr aleha. Same idea. It's there all the time. You're constantly pulling the rope up and down to pull up the bucket, and you're pulling. Over time, you've grooved the stone. I'm a little kachat atamea. You say to him, "You seem so." The picture that you have is Rekiva is like dumbfounded, so, looking. Really. I said, "Why are you so surprised?" It's a pasuk. Mayim shachaku avanim. Avanim shachaku mayim. Pasuk the same pasuk in here. So he says, "V'chili bikasha mehaven. Am I tougher than stone? Can't be. Ein lech le'elmod parsha achantar. Let me go learn a parsha." So he goes off to learn. Now, what do you see in terms of differences?
That the beginning, it says, Shabikesh Lil Motora, he already had, by the second Nusach, it starts off with his intent already in place. And now the question is this, what is he going to do to take his desire and trend?
Very good. And let's say, what's another? So number one, there is a desire. What Seth has pointed out that is maybe implied in version one. In version two, we're hearing it. What else? The story, difference in the story, yeah.
Well, there's a difference between the rope and the water.
Rope and the water. And what's the significance of that difference? Where are they coming from? And this may relate back to the substantive point that you made. And the water sounds like it's a natural process. It's water dripping on stone. The rope is people. And people have been, this may be, people have been pulling that rope up and down that spot in the rock for years, for decades, maybe for centuries. And over it's the accumulation, not of a natural process, but the cumulative impact of much human effort. That's what the rope is. And that may relate to the Bikesh Lomotoro. And also may relate, if Ariel points out, there's another difference. It's something that's missing in the Kal V'Chomer. In both cases, he makes Kal V'Chomer, but...
Sure. In the second Nusach, it leaves out his age for some reason?
It does leave out his age. Yeah. Leaves out his age. And you don't even hear that he hadn't learned, although we're going to get to that soon. There are two differences there's a difference in the Kal V'Chomer and the difference towards the end. Yeah, what do you see?
Well, the Kal V'Chomer in the first Nusach is a heart is so soft compared to the stone.
Right.
And therefore, if water can penetrate, so Torah can penetrate me. But in the second one, it's my heart is, well, I don't know if you're going to read it, Ka'evin or Me'a'evin. My heart can be as hard as a stone, nevertheless, with constant pressure, you can still go through.
Well, that depends on whether you say ki or vichy. Ah, you say if it says ki, then it sounds like there's no Kal V'Chomer. If it's vichy, then it is. Vichy. But there's still more of a... Right. It's... The bar is lower, I guess. My heart is tougher than stone. That's all I need. It's possible. There's almost more. And there's something that doesn't appear in version 2, which is how powerful Divrei Torah are. The focus of the Kal V'Chomer in the first version was if water could do it, Talmud Torah, which is so soft, Talmud Torah could certainly power through. Here there's none of that. It's just... I can't be harder than stone. Right? And even that's, as you're saying, a little more minimalized. And there's another minimalization, which is what's his plan?
One version.
Yeah? Can you go there a little bit? The first version is he's going to the Torah. The Nusra Beis focuses on he very, 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 very
Modest
goals. A very modest initial goal. The Augustine Rosen goes on to say, and that's what appears here in the smaller front, and something parallel to Mitzchah Beis also, he goes and he learns, and then he learns why he starts with Aleph Beis, and then moves on, and then he's learned by Yikra and Taurus Kodim, and by the time he's done, you know, he's the chief Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Lezer, and Rishua eventually becomes their peer. And as we know from other stories, from the mature Rabbi Akiva, that he is, at the very least, their peer. And they're even coming to him for the Pesach Seder and all the stories where he ultimately becomes very much, he may have been the same age as them. He's had a late start. He may have even been older, but as he starts from Alphys. So number one, there's more of a, Rav Ariel sees this as sort of a little more of a sort of a belief in himself in version number two. That is, it can't be harder, and more focus on my lev as opposed to the Kalach HaTorah. And at the same time, there's as you said, more of a bikush, a desire from Meirosh, and his goals begin very modestly. Yeah. So, and who? Right. Yeah. What's missing entirely? I should say, who's missing entirely?
His wife.
From Avisun Rasen. Yeah. Where's Rach? Right. Whereas the Gemara in Ksuvos and the Gemara in Nedarim, which we'll take a look in a moment, is an incredible amount of focus on his wife. Okay, the Gemara in Ksuvos says, Rebbe Akiva Raya Ben Kalba Savua. Rebbe Akiva was the shepherd for Ben Kalba Savua. Who was Ben Kalba Savua? You know about him from the Gemara in Gittin. It talks about in the stories of the Churban. He was one of, he together with two other incredibly, he was one of the three incredibly wealthy men. There was a trifecta of people of great means. The Gemara said that Nakdim Ben Gurion, Betzitzis Akeses, and Kalba Savua. And these three people together could have, sounds from the Gemara, they could have funded Yerushalayim for, I think the Gemara said 21 years, something like that, 7 years, 21 years, an enormous amount of time. The Romans had laid siege to Yerushalayim. And there was internal strife in Yerushalayim about how to respond to the Romans. The Talmidei Chachamim, it's clear, were trying to take a sort of a moderate approach under the leadership of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who at the time was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. He's the Nasi before and after. He's the one who's smuggled out by his two Talmidim, actually Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua. So the time all starts to come together here. And Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua with a young Talmidim who smuggled him out to negotiate with Vespasian, who at that time was the commander of the effort, the military effort around Yerushalayim, and midway is appointed emperor. But ultimately, Gemara points out that there was a large group of baryonim, of zealots of Kanaim, who just wanted war at all costs. They were the military hawks. And they, to force the issue, they set fire to all the stores of grain and wood and wine and so on and so forth that were owned by Kalba Savua and the other two, and that forced the issue. Because otherwise they could have just held out passively inside Yerushalayim for years and just played the waiting game. Eventually the Romans would have lost interest. So this has been Kalba Savua, an incredibly wealthy man, and a man who had a side of the strong chesed. The Gemara says that he was called Kalba Savua. Means it's a funny name. Ben Kalba Savua is the happy dog, the satisfied dog. Because you even if you come in as hungry as a dog, hungry as a kalav, you walk out satisfied. So that was it. It's an odd name though. It's an odd way. It seems almost like a two layered way of saying that it's a way of talking about his chesed, but there's a little bit that the dog sort of throws you off, and that's what you see in these stories. That he was a good man, but it was definitely an edge that Rabbi Akiva ended up feeling. So what happened to Rabbi Akiva here? Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Samach Beis. Rabbi Akiva Raya Ben Kalba Savua. Rabbi Akiva is the shepherd of Ben Kalba Savua. Chazite Barte Dahavat Tzaniya Umali. His daughter, Ben Kalba Savua's daughter, sees The Rebbe Akiva is a Balmidos. He's it's Adam Tzanua, and he's a very, very humble and refined. Amar Lei Makadash Nalach Azus LeBeirav. If I marry you, will you go to yeshiva? Amar Lei, says yeah. So they get married kiddushin in private, and she sends him off. She sends him off shadrasay. She sends him off to yeshiva. And then this the unfolding of the story is very famous. The Gemara says that the father hears, and he's incredibly upset at his daughter, who married down by who knows how many steps. Right? The daughter of the one of the wealthiest men in Yerushalayim married the shepherd. He's like, out of my house. Out of my house. Now she's without a family. Without a father, and she's without a husband. He's off in yeshiva. He's there for 12 years. He comes back with, the Gemara says, with 12,000 Talmidim. And Shamek, skipping out a couple lines, he hears that there's a man who's an older man, a Husaba. Sometimes some Bayatosas believe that every time the Gemara says a Husaba, it's a reference to that older man. That's a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi, which is it plays interestingly in this Gemara. Because he says to her, Rabbi Akiva shows up and he hears his son, this fellow, saying to his wife, Ad kama kamadabris amanus chayim. You're a widow, living widow. I mean, your husband's alive, like a military widow. Your husband's alive, but he's gone. How much are they going to go like this? So he says, if he would listen to me, he would learn for another 12 years. Amar b'rishus kavidna, he hears that. My wife is happy with this. Goes straight back. Another 12 years, he comes back to 24,000 talmidim. His wife comes out, and the neighbor say to her, I should borrow something. We'll lend you some nice clothing. And she clearly had not been... She clearly had not been well funded over the course of those 24 years. And she's wearing tags. She says, nah, he's a tzaddik. He'll appreciate me as I am. And she comes and she starts kissing his legs. And it seems like she falls on the ground. And the Talmidim, like, who's this woman? Like, who's this woman jumping on our Rebbe? And they want to push away. He says, you know, the famous line, Shali b'shalachem shalach. That's my wife. Everything that all of you thousands of them have, it's because of her. That's the Gemara. Focus is predominantly not on Rabbi Akiva at all, but on his wife. There is a famous comment of Rabbi Chaim from Lovitz that 12 plus 12 do not equal 24. Because one of the very striking things of this Gemara is Rabbi Akiva's home after 12 years, right? And he hears, and he's ready to come home. Time to come home. I have a wife. He hears that she would be glad for him to go back. It sounds like he goes straight back. Could have stopped. Could have stayed. Could have said hello. Could have stayed for a couple of weeks, then got back. So that's what Rav Chaim Shalevitz is recording in Sichas Musar, as pointing out that 12 plus 12 does not equal 24. The value, that this is obviously an extreme. Rav Akiva was... a very unusual. Akiva and Rachel together were a very, very unusual couple. But it's clear that that she was fully on board with this. But in other words, the power of, you know, sort of to bring this down a lot, but learning for 2 hours is not the same as learning for an hour, taking a break, and learning for another hour. Well, let's take it down more. In other words, learning for 20 minutes is very different than 5 and 5 and 5 and 5. The value of continuity and sustained focus is for Rabbi Akiva and Rachel on their Madrega, 12 years and 12 years, not the same as 24 years. And it worked. He became Rabbi Akiva. Now I mentioned before that this tradition that Tosas quotes, that Hahusaba may always be a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi. So it's worth thinking about that, because initially he sounds like he's very negative. He's the one who's trying to talk her out of this whole situation. So how is he Eliyahu HaNavi?
That got him to go back.
Yeah, got him to go back. And not only that, how is he Eliyahu HaNavi Kalape Rabbi Akiva and also Kalape Rachel? power of challenge. In other words, he challenges her, and she responds by saying, "I'm ready to take it to the next level." Rabbi Akiva could never have known. Or Arya points out. In other words, Rabbi Akiva got the most accurate assessment of where his wife was holding. Because she wasn't talking. There was no shred of doubt in his mind that maybe she's trying to figure where I'm at, and she doesn't want to frustrate me. As far as she knows, she's Mesicha Lefituma. She doesn't think she has an audience of her husband, and so he gets total clarity of where she's holding, and she is pushed by the Satan becomes Elohim Navi. In other words, she's pushed by the challenge to push further. And here you have also striving. Another, one more thread that comes out here, and then we'll come around to the Gemara Nedarim and then wrap up by looking at some of the statements of Rabbi Akiva. What you have here is a blend of Ben-Am L'Chaver and Ben-Am L'Makom, of incredible ambition in Ben-Am L'Makom with no sacrifices Ben-Am L'Chaver. In other words, it's almost superhuman Hasmada. So to leave for over a decade, and then again for over a decade, but at the same time, that sounds like that could be, on someone else's cheshbon. This is we're approaching the Slichas season. So there's a very, very famous depiction that Yisrael Salanter gave of, the fellow decides he wants to say Slichas, wants to go to say Slichas before sunrise at the ideal time. And he gets up early in the morning and he washes until he's dying with a full cup and makes himself a coffee so he'll be awake and out the door and he comes into shul and he's on time, they haven't even started yet. He so proud of himself, what a great start to his day. Right? What a beautiful richness to start to his day. It looks so nice. Yisrael Salanter says, now let's go back again and look at the house. While this guy is clattering around the house, washing negavasa, splashing all over the place, making himself a coffee, it's whistling, he's banging out the door. By the time he leaves the house, he's clueless about the fact that by the time he leaves the house, everyone is awake, the kids are all screaming, and he just woke everyone up and walked out the door. He didn't even realize what he was doing. Right? That was his depiction of what Ramchal describes in the 20th parak of Maseilas Yesharim, Nishkal HaChasidus. You want to go to Mishur Sadin, you always have to weigh that. You have to look at the whole picture and see, I want to do more than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of me. I have to make sure that that's going to be a net gain. And sometimes a person's ambition, as you can imagine, one's ambitions to learn may require a shikul. And sometimes I'm being machmer and someone else's cheshbon. With Rabbi Akiva, that's not the case whatsoever. Rabbi Akiva, this is an ideal type of ambition. Because there was a yeah.
No, I've always wondered, how does this work with kids? I mean, she's like so. Even she got married at 20. She's what? 20, she's 44. I'm saying just Matthias.
And one of the fascinating things is this Gemara says she was makadashna. She's mikudashas. They got married. It wasn't even and she agreed to get married.
Right.
She agreed to get married. We don't. This Gemara doesn't tell us anything about nisuin. So almost it seems like. He was Makadasher, and then he's off. And there were no children.
There were no children. Now, even more so.
Now, the Gemara Nedarim, on the next side, the Gemara Nedarim presents it. The Gemara Nedarim sounds different. Let's just see that, and then take another question. Rabbi Akiva is Kachos Le Barte de Kavos Avua. Again, Kiddushin to Kavos Avua. To the daughter of Kavu Savua. Kavu Savua hears. Adra Hana Mekal Nefse. Disowns her. Azla ve'is nesiva le. She goes ahead and has nisun. They get fully married, not just formally married. And where are they living? Besisvahava. So it was, it sounds like it's the fall. Ganu be tivna. Where are they living? They're living on nothing. They're living on love. But there's no money to go around. They end up in a some sort of hay silo. Have a kamanketle tivna min mazia. he's pulling the hair, the hay in the morning, he's pulling the hay out of his wife's hair, which is an incredibly touching depiction. Amalah, he says to her, Ihavaili, if I had, Ramino, if I could afford, Ramino lech Yerushalayim de Dahava, I would get you a Yerushalayim shel Zahav. Before it was a song, it was a name of a very high-end type of jewelry in the days of Chazal. It was some sort of
tiara?
Yeah, that had like a picture of Yerushalayim, a depiction of Yerushalayim on it. And Eliyahu HaNavi comes knocking. Here's Eliyahu HaNavi, describes Eliyahu HaNavi. Idmilon Ka'ansha, he appears in human form. He's knocking on the door, Karya Baba. What does he need? I need a little bit of hay. The Yaldas Itzi Velesli Middam La Aguna. I don't even have hay. So I don't have anything with which to warm her, with which to cover her. So Rabbi Kiva says to his wife, look, Chazi Gavra Da Filo Tivno La Isle. Look at this man, he doesn't even have hay. How lucky we are. Amr Le Zil Havi Beiram. And then she goes, the rest of the story is pretty, there are subtle differences, but she says, go learn. And he goes to learn, and then there's a neighbor. He comes back, and ultimately he says, Tamim Shali V'Shalachem Shalom. Now here, they are married, and here, there's a lot of very touching romance, not in a cheap, shallow way. There's incredible affection and incredible love and incredible tenderness they hear from Akiva. Now, it's not 100% clear. Now, number one, it could be that in the Gemara and Ksubas doesn't mention the Nisun, doesn't mean it didn't happen. And Le'idach Isa, it's also conceivable that the story in the Dharma is out of order. Because the Gemara has two separate chunks. One is they got married and... they got married, and they're very poor. The other one is Rabbi Akiva going off to learn. It's not 100% clear. It's conceivable that that part, that first chunk happens later. Not very likely. But what you do see also is not only, more likely is that the Nisun just doesn't get mentioned in Ksubas. But what you also see is the extraordinary love they had for each other, and it's a love that very clearly is together focused on Torah. And maybe you also see that insight that a couple can together focus on that greater value when they're very much on the same page. You also see that sense of recognizing. It's an extraordinary example of Sameach Bechelko. In other words, he too, you see Rabbi Kiva coming to inspire, Eliyonavi coming to enable Rabbi Kiva and his wife to realize how lucky they are. Even in a situation of abject poverty, but there could be even less. Let's look at what we have. And there are people who are looking at those who have less in the area of their material life, and looking to see what to be ambitious in their spiritual pursuits. Now, taking a step back, it sounds like they're very different stories. Right? The Ksubas and Dharma are pretty parallel. Again, there are differences, and maybe that the two Gemaras are focusing different pieces of the same story. Meanwhile, Abbas Rabbanasan, again, two different side versions. But it sounds like it's entirely different, because the Talmud Bavli is telling us that his wife sent him out to learn. Right? She loved him. She believed in him. She saw in him, as the Gemara Ksuba says, she saw in what others did not. He was not a learned man, but he was an extraordinary Baal Midos. He was a very special person. He said, you could become something. I believe in you. Go get it. And meanwhile, Avraham Nesson is, Rabbi Kiva is inspired. He sees something and he goes for it. So which one is it? Could be machlokas, but machlokas now over concepts. Machlokas over a historical fact. Yeah, machlokas metzias doesn't seem very satisfying.
So perhaps the ksubas is where she it's her appreciation of his self worth in the story ksubas that gives Rabbi Akiva the impetus in the story of Avos Dibur. It says Shabikesh Lilmo Torah, Right? Maybe the Bikesh Lilmo Torah in the second Nusach came from her appreciation that he has the raw tools, or somewhere in there she sees within him the
And you know what Michael's saying? The big import of Michael's saying is that it's not a they're not mutually exclusive. And I want to go back to what we were looking at earlier when we were looking at the Avos Rav Nosson. You know, it's sort of like the meta metaphor, right? As Rabbi Akiva is noticing how the slow but steady repeated drips ultimately bored through the rock, and the truth is he had seen it was repeated focusing on the rock that had ultimately that sort of penetrated, ironically, pun intended, into his mind. And it's a metaphor for what was happening. What it also captures is that there was there was an evolution of him. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a line more than once in a sefer on Chumash and Mos Yaakov, where he says there's pardes to people. We talk about pardes in interpreting Torah, Pshat, Remez, Jewish Sod. There's pardes in interpreting people also, and it's worth us realizing that we're complex. And we often, there can be multiple layers of motivation that some are more aware of than others that can go into a single decision. And often there's process within us that we're not even fully aware of. There can be multiple processes that ultimately sort of come together. So there may have been sort of this, in either order, there was sort of the internal recognition, and then there was also the support from his wife. And either, as you said, his wife told him that she believes in him, and maybe, we don't know what happened. Did that mean the very next day he's off? Or his wife told him he believes in him, but he needed to come to that on his own? Or lehefech, he may have seen this, and it began to make an impression, and he was thinking, maybe I could do this, but it was only when his wife said, I'm behind you, that he was able, lehotzi mikoach al hapoel, that recognition that he had. But the takeaways here are numerous and powerful in terms of at the same time, the incredible change that he makes and the incredible scope of what Tshuva could accomplish, combined with sort of putting together both pieces of Avos Rav Nosson, the need for Nuscha Bey's small as you can get to big places, but it's going to be in small, manageable steps. And to recognize, to give ourselves chance to have process. And to give ourselves chance to have process within, to come to believe in ourselves, and to assemble a team of people around us who believe in us, who can support us, and who could push us forward. And the truth is that the thread here, there's so many threads, the thread about the support that his wife gave him is reflected in the words of Rabbi Akiva, Shabbos Daf Chafei, source number 7, Eze Ashir. So the Rabbi Meir says what's famous to us from the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Kol Sheisho Nachas Ruach Ba'ashro, which sounds like a lot like Sameach Lechelko. Rabbi Akiva says Kol Sheisho Isha Na B'Masa. He taught what he had lived. The recognition that they both had of the way in which Torah is spiritual oxygen is referenced very beautifully in the Gemara in Brachas of Samach Aleph, where he tells the famous mashal. He tells Pappus to explain to Pappus why he's willing to teach Torah even at great danger to his life, the end of his life, because to be Jews without water would be like Jews without Torah would be like fish out of water. It will lack the spiritual oxygen. I want to wrap it up. As I mentioned when we got started, there's so much to talk about. Rabbi Akiva just scratches the surface of Mishnah. In 3 weeks, we'll talk about Reish Lakish, who's a very different type of image of, also a Baal Tshuva, who both lived and taught Tshuva. Rabbi Akiva himself also taught, the Gemara tells many stories of him bringing others back to Tshuva. And the Gemara tells much about his optimism, which is a big piece, the belief in what you could do. But it all comes back, ultimately, we'll close with source number 5, is the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where he talks about HaKol Tzafui V'Rishus Nesuna. Rishus Nesuna, there's a line that the Rambam picks up on in Perakei of Hilchos Tshuva, Rabbi Akiva phrasing the idea of Bechir Chavshus. The Rambam has a line in that in his Perush and Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva was the one who was the right person to teach us a profound idea. Perhaps not only because we know from Chagiga he was a man of unusual profundity, philosophical, mystical profundity, even among the Tanan, but perhaps also because he was a man who had lived it. He had trained others to do tshuva, and he, in his own life, had seen how massive change could happen, in even if it's in imperceptible steps, and it doesn't seem like you can ever get anywhere. But he saw how, even though HaKol Tzafui, but Rishus Nasuna, the scope of our Bechir Chavshus is indeed very vast, and it's up to us to take full advantage of that ability that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Thank you so much. We will continue as the rest of my tshuva.
Yeah. I was addressing as a son.
Yes. I think you are. So here's the thing. If